What's going on? This is Alex Pardo, and I'm coming at you with episode 375 on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
If you can, then you must. That's something Jim Rohn said years ago, probably decades ago. And I wanted to share that quote with you because I'm going to be talking or sharing a story with you that I think illustrates the power of persistence, the power of resiliency, and also a display of tactical empathy that almost wasn't displayed or wasn't shown. And so I want to talk to you about a deal that at the time of this recording, well, if you're whenever you're listening to this, God willing, this deal would have already closed by now. But at the time of this recording, we are supposed to be days away from closing. It's a deal where, you know, we're going to make a decent chunk of change on it. It's $36,000-$37,000 net profit that we're expecting to generate on this deal. And this was a lead that we've had in our system for over 4 years. Over 4 years, this lead has been in our system. At one point, it was marked, the status was marked dead. And because of our automated follow-up sequences, it was revived. And the seller called in about 2.5 months ago, and we ended up going under contract late October. And we, you know, we had built, this is an older gentleman, he's in his early 80s, and you know, the house had been rented out to some relatives, and he was just a burnt out landlord. He had been dealing with he'd been fighting with his tenants, which happened to also be his family members. And for about a year, he just got to a point where enough was enough, and he contacted us because of one of our automated follow up sequences. And you know, we ended up meeting with him. We were able to meet his needs. We got the property under contract. I thought we had addressed some deal killers, and I'll circle back to what I mean by that. And we had built great rapport with the guy. You know, communication was strong. You know, we were just in constant back and forth. And then at some point towards like Thanksgiving, you know, middle to end of November, we kind of lost communication with him, not because of lack of effort, but the guy just stopped being responsive, you know? And again, this is an older gentleman. He doesn't really text. He doesn't check email, anything like that. I mean, he's got one cell phone. It's probably a flip phone. Actually, not probably. I think it is a flip phone. And there's only one way to get in contact with the guy. And one of the things I've always expressed to my team is, you know, when we're working with a homeowner or with any client for that matter, make sure you get multiple ways to get in contact with that person. You know, we want email, we want any mobile numbers, landlines, if they're on social media, like just, we want multiple ways to be able to reach people. Well, this was actually a property that we were not able to find a buyer for. So I have a good relationship with one of the, you know, a really strong wholesaler here in South Florida who knew a realtor who had a buyer. So there's actually two people in the middle of this deal, which can be challenging at times, but we got over a few bumps as far as that's concerned. We got the property under contract again. You know, we're making a pretty nice spread on this. And all of a sudden the homeowner goes MIA, missing in action, completely disappears. For about a 2 week period, we cannot reach this guy. And we tried everything. It got to a point in December where our attorney, so this particular homeowner lives in New York, but he was in South Florida visiting some family for the holidays. So we had our attorney send, after multiple calls, WhatsApp messages, text messages, emails, trying to track the seller down on social media, which we were unsuccessful. We had our attorney send a certified letter, you know, they basically had to sign for it because we wanted the receipt, to his address in New York, the previous address in New York. We were able to track down where he was staying with his relative in South Florida. We sent a certified letter to the relative in South Florida. We sent it to the property address where we're actually buying it. And so there was a whole lot of challenges with this deal that I'm not even really sharing with you at this point. Because really what I want you to take away is that for about a good three, almost a 4 week period, we were looking at this like, what do we need to do to close? And looking at this from our point of view, from our perspective, you know, we want to maintain a solid relationship with the buyer. You know, they were patiently waiting. You know, we were going to make a decent chunk of change on this deal. And, you know, we were just looking at this from one side, and it was frustrating because when somebody doesn't communicate with you, you can't resolve any issues or challenges. And we started finally, one of our team members, our transaction coordinator, connected with the seller. And, you know, the seller went on to kind of just explain that, hey, you know, I was traveling. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. But, you know, let me rewind a little bit. One of the challenges on this deal was that the buyer wanted the property vacant at closing, but yet the tenants wouldn't give us, they were not giving us a hard date as to when they were going to be out. It was kind of like left out in the open. And this particular seller's personality type was one that, like, he didn't really like conflict, which is part of the reason he wasn't being responsive to us. He couldn't get the tenants out, and they were asking for some money. Long story short, the tenants actually ended up vacating the property and leaving. Right. And we went by the house and the house was vacant. So we were all good there. Okay. We got over that challenge. We finally, this was like mid-December, we finally connected with the seller, and the seller, you know, apologized for not reaching out and not being in contact with us. And basically said, look, I still have a few things I need to work out with my relative, the tenant. They're asking for some money, you know, and our transaction coordinator, who, she's awesome. You know, she communicated to him, listen, Mr. Seller, I was actually calling to tell you that had the property still been occupied, we're willing to escrow some of our money, you know, and keep them in the property for up to 30 days because the seller wasn't willing to escrow any funds. But the good news is that they ended up leaving. The property's vacant. We were actually there yesterday, and the seller was like, yeah, but I still need to get the key from him. And, you know, we're like, what do you mean you need to get the key from him? Like, the property's vacant. You're selling it. We're ready to close. We're giving you everything you want. But the guy, we just were not able to like connect with the guy rationally. He's like, no, I want to work this out with my relative. I want to get the key. Once I get the key, then we can close. And mind you, that the buyer's been patiently waiting. We're heading into Christmas. We're heading into New Year. Like, the buyer is going to be going out of town. Like, if we didn't get this resolved pretty quickly, we were going to have to wait until like first or second week in January. And like, you just, who knows, so many things can happen in between. And it just wasn't logical. We're like, what? We don't understand. Like, we're ready to close. You know, we don't need the key. We're going to change the locks anyways. You know, the buyer's going to rehab the property, et cetera. And we just weren't able to like nail down this guy agreeing to, hey, let's just move forward and close. So the next day we hopped on our daily huddle, and I'm with the team, and I said, I had just finished watching a YouTube video from Chris Voss, who, if you guys don't know who Chris Voss is, he was a former, one of the FBI's top negotiators, hostage negotiators. He's the author of a book called Never Split the Difference. Highly recommend that book. Fantastic book. It's really, really good for salespeople on negotiating. And in that video, one of the things that jumped out at me that he talked about is tactical empathy. And he talked about, you know, putting yourself in the person's shoes from their perspective, not from your perspective. Like, don't think about just what you want, but actually put yourself in that shoes, in the person's shoes. And I remember on that huddle, I challenged our team and I said, guys, excuse me. I said, forget about what we want for a second. You know, forget about how, you know, some of the challenges. Let's put ourselves in this gentleman's shoes. We're in our early 80s. We've been battling with our relative slash tenant for the last year. Let's put ourselves in this gentleman's shoes. What could we want? Like, where have we gone wrong here? Okay. And we just started brainstorming for like a good, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And one of the things that came out of that was like, look, let's call him from a different number, because obviously he knows our number. Let's call him from a different number. Our transaction coordinator tried that, got his voicemail. Like, for weeks, that's all we had done, is you know, until we finally reached him. But then even days after that, he just wouldn't pick up his phone. And so I'm at Mass, and we're about 5-10 minutes from Mass starting. This was like a Friday morning. My daughter was performing in front of the church at her school, some like, you know, play, and she was going to be an angel, whatever. So before Mass started, before that, because I wasn't going to miss that for the world, I stepped out and I asked my wife, Nat. I'm like, Nat, let me grab your phone for a second. Let me try this seller. Mind you, we've been under contract since end of October. I have never seen this property, never spoken to the seller, never spoken to the buyer. Fortunately, my team has handled all that. I said, let me jump in here. Let me just see if by chance I can connect with the guy. And if I do connect with the guy, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to say, but let me just kind of feel the guy out and see if I can, using tactical empathy, putting myself in his shoes, let me see if maybe the lines of communication got crossed somewhere. Maybe he was expecting something and we didn't meet those expectations, or we didn't go above and beyond like we usually do. Maybe there's a challenge that we're not seeing, okay? There's got to be something more to this, because if we're ready to close and he's telling us he doesn't want to close because he needs the key from the tenant, like something is off there. That just doesn't make sense, right? I'm like, there's got to be something else. Let me connect with this guy. So I called him, and sure enough, he picked up. He didn't recognize the number. I'm sure if I would have called him from a number, you know, we had been trying, he probably wouldn't have picked up. And I connected with the guy. My goal instantly was just to put myself in his shoes, build rapport as quickly as possible. Older gentleman. So, you know, we connected. We probably spent, I don't know, a minute or so talking about the holidays, talking about family, this and that. And then I started, you know, explaining, you know, who I am, you know, I said, my apologies in advance. I feel like maybe there's something that we did or didn't do that, that just maybe broke rapport, broke some type of trust with you. And we started talking, and he got into the initial objection that he told our transaction coordinator about a week prior, that, you know, he was trying to still work something out with a tenant and he had been traveling. And I said, no, I completely respect, I completely understand that. Just so you know, we have sent the funds to the title company. We are ready to close. I said, and he goes, no, thank you, this and that. And he kind of like started to like deflect a little bit. And I'm like, but I didn't get the sense he was being shady. I didn't get the sense, like my gut usually doesn't fail me. And I'm like, there's something going on here, but I don't think he's trying to like not necessarily closed, or I didn't think it was a situation where he was like there was another buyer involved or anything like that. And then I said, look, how can I personally help you? What is it that I can do to help in you know, the situation you're in? You let me know what it is that I can do to help you. And that's right when I asked that question, he opened up and he said, no, it's that, you know, I spoke to one of your team members and like I thought I was gonna get X amount and that you guys were going to cover the closing cost. But then now I find out that I have to be responsible for the taxes and for the HOA. So just to give you guys some context, we always cover the seller's closing cost, but the seller usually pays for the taxes unless that's discussed and negotiated ahead of time when we put the property under contract. And so this guy thought, you know, we were buying the property for a certain price and he thought that's the amount of money he was going to put in his pocket. And I guess when he had spoken to one of our team members, you know, she walked him through the HUD and he realized that, no, he was going to be responsible for paying taxes and paying, you know. So we discussed internally and we said, look, this is an opportunity for us to get better, to be sharper and clearer in our communication. And, you know, and she assured me that, no, look, I did walk him through this. Like, you know, I even showed him in the contract where he was paying for the taxes, but that was the whole holdup here. Yes, there was a challenge with the tenant, but this guy was stuck on the fact that he wanted to walk away in his pocket with the purchase price. And it ended up, you know, it ended up being that I offered to not just pay his closing cost, but I also told him, look, I'll take care of your taxes and I'll take care of this HOA fine. And I said, in addition, you know, I understand the tenant's asking for $5,000. I'd like to contribute $1,000 out of my pocket to help you with that, because I understand that this is stressful. And the guy totally changed his tune. Now, again, at the time I'm recording this, matter of fact, this conversation just recently happened. And so we haven't gotten to the closing table yet. God willing, knock on wood, if it's meant to be, and I expect it will be, we should be days, you know, days away from closing. But I think the point and the moral of the story is go above and beyond. You know, don't just accept surface level objections from people, but sometimes you have to dig. And one of the best ways to really dig is to employ tactical empathy, to put yourself in the other person's shoes and find out if something doesn't smell right, or if you think there's just something doesn't, the dots aren't connecting, something doesn't make sense. Usually it's because there's something else going on, and your job is to grab a huge shovel and start digging and start figuring out, employing tactical empathy, putting yourself in their shoes and being sincere and genuine. Excuse me, guys. And I think once I did that, I was able to break through and figure out that, hey, this was a money issue for him. Although at no point did he really like emphasize more money or anything like that. It was, he had a certain number in mind that he expected to walk away from. And at one point in the conversation, this was in Spanish, so I won't translate. I'll translate here, but he basically said, yeah, like, I'm not sure if it makes sense. He said that in Spanish to me. And, you know, right when he said that, I'm like, this is a money issue, you know? And so after talking to him for a little bit more, I said, look, I don't want you to worry about the taxes. I don't want you to worry about the HOA. And in addition, I'm going to contribute $1,000 to help with this tenant situation. And he changed his tune, you know? And so hopefully we're days away from closing this deal. And, you know, it's a nice size deal. Don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes you got to look at these, you got to look at these challenges and say, what's the lesson? Where's the beauty in it? What can we learn from this? What could we do different? What would we do the same? And you just want to make sure that when you connect with people, you know, especially homeowners, if you're direct to seller, figure out what are all the potential deal killers, figure out why they're motivated, you know, and when we went back and looked at this file, we said, why is he selling? It was because he was just burnt out in being a landlord, particularly with family. You know, that was an extra layer that just made it more complicated. And we probably needed to have done a better job of figuring out, you know, what he was going to use the money for, why this particular amount of money was so important that he walked away with. And so even if you feel like there's nothing you could have done different, I challenge you to push and look and dig deeper, because there's always something you could do different. And remember that you can't control other people. You can influence them, but you can't control them. And I think if you use tactical empathy and you genuinely try to put yourself in that person's shoes, and you kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together, so oftentimes you're going to be able to back in and you're going to find that missing piece of the puzzle, and you're going to be able to solve their challenge or solve the problem. So anyways, wanted to share this story with you. I hope you find it valuable in some way. You know, we all have battle scars. We all have properties we've contracted and the seller has kind of flaked out or something's missing. When those things occur, I implore you to really start to kind of reverse engineer the entire transaction, dissect where things could have gone south in the communication, and try to really figure out what's going on. Now, obviously, if you can't reach the person, you got to get really, really creative, you know, tap into social media. Sometimes you got to get sent certified mail. I would have sent this guy a singing telegram if I had to. So anyway, I'd love to hear any some of your war stories or some of the challenges you guys have had in closing deals. And I trust that this is you know, something that can help you moving forward. So appreciate you. Thank you. And I, as always, I am looking forward to connecting with you on the next episode. And if you haven't already, let's connect on social at AlexPardo25 on Instagram. And then you can just find me on Facebook, put in Alex Pardo. And I'd love to start a dialogue and a conversation on social. So appreciate you, my friend. We will talk soon. This show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.